Welcome to the Jim K. Ford Sends Nation podcast with Steve Warren and the coach, Greg Kennedy.
All right, welcome to it today. Coming up on the show, the Jim K. Ford Sends Nation podcast. After 10 months on the job, the Sens have fired Pierre Maguire. The lottery draft went down. Oh, the excitement. The Sens started at 7th overall, and they're going to stay at 7th overall. Gary Bettman says the Sens are not on the market. The World Hockey Championship start up this week. We'll talk about what stood out for us so far in the Stanley Cup playoffs and a whole lot more here on the Jim K. Ford Sens Nation podcast. Greg, how are things?
Things are good, Steve. I apologize. We were late recording this evening, so if we're more tired than normal, it's my fault because it's late at night now.
All good. Just watching a little hockey and watching the New York Rangers try and stay alive as we're recording this. And that might be a good place to start as you talk about the Stanley Cup playoffs. Is there something that's really grabbed your attention at this stage of the game?
I love the incredible amount of intensity that the playoffs bring, and particularly the first round. Every year, it's so good to watch. The first round of the NHL playoffs is the best sports, period. Disappointed there hasn't been much overtime, though, right? Like, that kind of sucks. It's been close, but close as far as game scores go. Like, we got two games, they got two games, but not really the number of big scores, blowouts. It's like they blow us out, then we blow them out, then they blow us out. So there's a lot of tied series that I think might go six or seven games. But where's the overtime? Where's that excitement? That's what's missing.
Yeah, we haven't a game one with the Penguins and the Rangers that went to triple overtime, but there have not been too many. Certainly that Tampa Leaf series is just what you're talking about. They're just taking turns wailing on each other. The last game was pretty close, but the first four games were just alternately whooping on each other. And I got to say, that's a series scale of 1 to 10. I'm 9 on that one. And every other series is somewhere in between the 5 and 7 range.
Yeah,
even though I hate the Leafs, that's reason to watch because I want them to lose so badly. And right now, it looks like they have a very good chance. I'm hoping that I tempt fate here when I make this statement. They look like they have a very good chance to not only slay the two-time champions, but slay their first-round demons as well.
Okay, but here's a question for you. You want them to lose,
yeah,
but did you think they would lose or win? Do you allow yourself to separate the emotion and make a choice before the series starts, or do you just completely ignore that one and just pick the other series?
Well, I mean, if I just put my hockey hat on and take away the allegiances, I certainly thought that Tampa Bay would have the advantage with the Stanley Cup pedigree they have, whereas Toronto, I don't like their goaltending. I don't like their defense that much, and I certainly don't like the pressure that goes with playing in that market. So desperate to not only get rid of that Stanley Cup curse, but just get out of the first round. And you can see the intensity and the interest that's going on in Toronto right now. I thought that Tampa would be a lot looser. They've got their Stanley Cup rings and they're going for more. They want to win for Corey Perry. And I just think they're a talented group. But every time I watch the Leafs go out and get thumped by Tampa, I say, okay, that's exactly what I expected. But then that game five was certainly surprising when they came back with a big third period run.
Now, are you in a bracket pool? Are you in any kind of a pool of any sorts this year?
None at all this year. No.
Oh, jeez. I do that bracket challenge, the NHL one. I think you win two tickets to a game in the finals or something, but I never seem to do that well in it.
Right.
But I did. You might not like this, but I have Calgary over Toronto in the Stanley Cup final.
Wow, that would certainly be a compelling final.
Yeah.
Hey, what do you think? What do you think? And I'll certainly be cheering for the Calgary Flames. Are we okay with Brady Tkachuk cheering for the Calgary Flames? Like wearing the T-shirts and hanging out with the Flames? And
are we supposed to be upset? I mean, it doesn't matter. If it's the other way around, would Matthew be cheering for Brady if it were the other way around? I'd like to think so. I don't have a problem with it. Do you have a problem with it?
No. Okay. I think it's the bloodlines are the only thing that excuse it, though. There can be no cheering for any other NHL team during the Stanley Cup playoffs unless this is the lone circumstance that I'll allow it. Okay. Let's get into things.
No. Go ahead. I was going to ask took in all the other series. Who you picked in every other series?
Oh, I didn't really make any real big predictions this year either, to be honest.
Oh, yeah.
I just... Yeah. No, I got to say that all the constant barrage of NHL sports gambling that I'm being hit over the head with, the ads are everywhere now.
Can't stand
and
it.
I mean, somewhere along the way, hey, we might even get a gambling outfit as a sponsor. But in the meantime, I feel oversaturated, and I find that I'm not doing the pools and I'm not getting engaged with any kind of sports gambling for that reason. So that's why I didn't make any picks this year. I'm kind of overwhelmed by it all.
Yeah. Like I'm a sports fan and a fairly large one. I watch SportsCenter every, like, I don't know, three times a day, I guess. I watch the dinner one and the nighttime one and the morning one. I watch the JJ show. I watch Inside Hockey, and I watch, what's the one on Sportsnet, Hockey Central, both mm-hmm. of those each day. I mean, I PVR everything, and I PVR every game and watch every pregame and every intermission. And the number, you can't watch any of those shows without, two or three minutes within that half hour show being dedicated to the gamblers, right? And they go to Mike Johnson or on CBC here, or the Hockey Night Canada game. They go to Cabbie and his buddy there. I just fast forward. I have no interest in it. I'm as you say, inundated by it, and I don't care enough. Really, don't care enough.
Yeah, it's basically been mainstreamed. It's now part of the programming. Yeah. It's not a case of cutting away. Although they do tons of that too. If I see Gretzky in a turtleneck in a big water fountain again, it'll be too soon. So I just the fact that it's now part of the programming, I just find it really invasive. But anyway. Who knows? We may end up with a sponsor in that department and be like everybody.
Yeah, we better
else.
Shut you up. We'll have to edit this
yeah.
out.
Exactly. You do what you got to do. Let's start off with Pierre Maguire. That's probably the biggest news of the week. It happened on Monday morning. We're recording this on Wednesday. So only 10 months on the job. Pierre Maguire is out. And I just want to double check on his actual title. I keep forgetting exactly what his title was. He was their senior vice president of player development. And of course, he joined the Ottawa Senators last July. It seemed time because the NHL on NBC contract came to a close. So the NHL goes over to both TNT and ESPN. And Pierre Maguire decided to step back into being a hockey executive. And it only lasted 10 months. So I'll go to you first. What did you think of his firing on Monday morning?
Surprised and not surprised. I was surprised that he was fired. Like I the first couple reports I read, it made it sound more like they parted company or whatever. I never really got the word fired till later on, but not surprised because he was a Eugene Melnyk hire. And really, right. Like, go out there and ask a casual Senator fan or a casual hockey fan. I bet there were people who had to be reminded that he was even employed by the Senators because as the year went on, you saw less and less and less of him. At one point, they talked about him being the media guy, being the face of the franchise. He didn't give an interview since the week he was hired. You never heard from him. Occasionally, you used to see him up in the box with PD fairly often, but then that waned and you didn't see him anymore. And the last time I heard that he did anything was I think he was at the dinner with Tyler Cleven in North Dakota. And I don't like, what did he do? What was his job? And that would bother me if I were him as to, okay, why am I here? What am I doing? What's my role? But then also he was brought in by another guy, a different owner who's not here anymore. And if I'm Pierre Dorion, I don't think he was too happy about it. And here's an opportunity for maybe Pierre Dorion had a chat with the girls or, you know, the new president and just said, hey, maybe it's time to make a change here. I don't know. Like, what did he do? And he's not doing it anymore.
Right. Yeah. I think I'm not going to, I have no idea what level of input he had on Sen's decision-making on the hockey side. I have to assume there was some, but I think it comes down to this, and you touched on it. It was Eugene Melnyk's guy, not Pierre Dorion's guy. And any NHL general manager would want that opportunity to at least have input on who they want to be their right-hand man. And so I think Maguire was, again, he was hired by Eugene Melnyk, and I feel like Dorion just didn't want that. It wasn't his guy, and he decided that he wanted to make a change. Because right now, he's reporting to this three-man board, Yeah, and they all seem to be businessmen. Like, based on their backgrounds, I don't think they would intervene on anything hockey related that didn't involve big money. And so I think when he came to them and said, listen, Eugene decided on this guy for me. I'd like to have a say on who I hire as my right-hand man. And I think that's probably the way it went down. And I really feel like, you know, when I think about, it's not like Dorian never met Pierre Maguire before. So if he was on board with the hiring, I think he probably would have given Pierre Maguire more time to prove himself. Or if there was a problem or an issue with the way he was doing his job, I think he would have given him more time. I think he was never down with Pierre Maguire being his right-hand man. And so with Eugene Melnyk no longer in the picture, with the season now over, I think Pierre Dorion just decided that now was the time to handle this situation.
Yeah, like to follow on that, if Pierre Dorion was really on board with this and excited and saw it as an opportunity to have Pierre Maguire around, then you got to believe he would have done more. You would have seen him doing more. He would have been speaking more. He would have been more interviews, more everything, more. Instead, as the year went on, he was less and less until it got to the end and see you later.
Yeah, early on after the hire, like first day, there was questions about the hierarchy because a lot of people jumped to the conclusion that this is the GM in waiting. That, and it's certainly not a big leap to think that Eugene Melnyk was thinking in those terms, almost like an insurance policy. And we've seen it before with Eugene Melnyk. He hired Dave Cameron, his OHL coach in Mississauga back in 2011, to be Paul McLean's assistant. And then when it's time for Paul McLean to go, he had his coach in waiting. And I think he had that same thing set up here with Pierre Maguire. And I think that was not lost on Pierre Dorion. Right out of the gate, he was defensive about it when he was asked by the media, what is the hierarchy? What is the flow chart business-wise here? He reports to me, is what Pierre Dorion said. He had to clarify that in the early going. And so it wouldn't surprise me that he was just feeling like a GM in waiting, was looking over his shoulder all the time rather than being his right-hand man. So I think that all kind of went into Dorion's thinking process when he decided to make this change on Monday.
Yeah, okay, so the question now is, will there be more hirings? Will the hockey development side of things, will the hockey ops department of the Ottawa Senators be growing, or is it just going to lop off one guy and never be replaced? It'll be interesting to see.
That's a good question across the board as we figure out what they'll do in the offseason in a lot more important ways than who this second in command and the executive is going to be. Like, what's going to happen? Are they going to go out and get a top six forward? Are they going to go, more importantly, go out and get a defenseman or two, proven NHL defenseman that will really help this team be better next season? These are the questions everybody has. What is Olivia and Anna Melnyk's level of interest in, you know, changing the dynamics of what their father had going? Are they going to keep the same kind of spending structure, which was a fairly frugal one? Their cap wasn't bad. I mean, they're up over $70 million cap-wise, but I think actual salary, money out the door, I think they're somewhere around 60 on the nose. So they're well below where, you know, the amount of money they need to spend or could spend. And I'm going to be keen to see if they continue to own the team. Are they going to continue to spend like their dad did? Or will the team be sold at some point? And will the new group come in and do something different? It's going to be fascinating.
And the word is that it's not for sale, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the word from Bettman is not for sale. Does that mean not for sale? Yeah, not for sale has to mean no, it's them. It's the two of them. Does that rule out partnerships? Does that rule out some of these groups who would come in and want to be a partner? It sounds like it. Sounds like it's just going to be the two of them running the show.
Yeah, he made that announcement early on in the playoffs on one of the broadcasts, and I don't know how much stock to put in that. He might be, you know, you take him at face value, but he might be leaving out the whole concept of right now. You know, they're not in the market.
Right now. Right today. Now, anyway. Today, while you ask me this question at this moment,
I still think there's a 50-50 chance of a sale. But in the meantime, I mean, Anna and Olivia Melnyk, They're not going to be in there as GMs. They're not going to be super hands-on or anything like that. Now, they'll sign off on big expenditures, of course, but I mean, I think it's going to come down to they might be fine in the role. There might be no change whatsoever. And I do know, I mean, they grew up playing the sport of hockey. They both went to, they played high school hockey, the two of them. They both love the game. Olivia was an intern for the Sens last summer. So there's interest there. There's no question about that. So I believe they'll truly want to take this for a fairly long test drive before they make any hard decisions. But I wouldn't take what Gary Bettman said as the gospel at this stage. I think he's just talking about what's happening here in the near future anyway.
Well, let me ask you this. If you were one of these groups that was interested, how aggressive would you be? And does the timeline affect you? If you've decided that you would like to buy this team, how aggressive are you in approaching the girls to try to buy it? And how much pressure do you put on them to do it now? Because do you really want the same structure in place through the summer and through the draft and through free agency? Like, if I want to buy the team, I want to own it tomorrow and let's get it done. So how aggressive would you be about it?
Well, I just don't think it. I don't think it's a money figure or an aggression level. It's a matter of, do they want to sell or not? The money will be absurd. You know, I don't think there's even a discussion until you start at $650 million. It'll probably be even more than that. If you're really aggressive about it, would it make a difference to Melnick's daughters if it's, you know, $850 or something like that? I don't think it will.
Yeah.
I think it comes down to what was their dad's wishes. And if Eugene Melnick wishes for his daughters to be the long-term owners and has set it up that way, and you know, it's all speculation at this stage because we just don't know how things have been set up. If I was to guess, though, I would say they're going to be involved for sure, one way or the other. The question is, will they be majority owners, like, or 100% owners, or will they be part owners and take on, you know, maybe some groups that have deeper pockets, who have more investments, who have a little more play money to throw around? I think that's certainly a possibility as well.
Well, I also consider this, if they, like, they knew this was coming, it's mm-hmm. morbid to say that, but they knew it was coming. The man was not well in his last month, and they knew that the club was going to be theirs. So I would think that they had enough time to think about it, that if they were thinking, you know, hey, that's a lot of cash for us if we sell this team, if that was their thought, then the statement would not be the team is not for sale. The statement would be, you know, give it an appropriate amount of time and then step up and say, yeah. And I think that appropriate amount of time has come and gone, so that if they were going to sell, they were interested in selling, I think that they would have said something by now.
Yeah, perhaps. We do have a new rink is still very much in the picture. We have a sparkling roster that is filled with really fun, exciting talent. This is going to be a really good team within 2 years. I don't think there's any question about that. So I think you're going to have, whether it's a new rink or it continues to be at the CTC, I think it'll be a much fuller rink, and money will start coming in. And so it's not the worst investment in the world. When you look at the growth of major league franchises, regardless of the four major sports, everybody's doing pretty well when you get right down to it. And it's only going to get better. TV deals will keep going up as well. It still looks to me like a situation, even though the last 5 years have been kind of grim, it feels like a bright future for the Ottawa Senators. So I wouldn't blame them if they wanted to hang on to it, if there was no sentiment or nostalgia behind it.
Think of yourself at that age. Like, wouldn't that be the coolest thing on earth? Like,
100%.
You know, I'm in my early 20s and I own a National Hockey League team. Like, that is cool, man. I'd be all over it.
All right, let's talk about the NHL draft lottery. The Montreal Canadiens will pick first overall. The Senators will go seventh overall. The whole process is wildly confusing. Just trying to figure it out with the ping pong balls, and then a certain code comes up and they look it up on a piece of paper and, oh, look, Montreal is the winner. And they make it, of course, look pretty when Bill Daly's out there with his placards and things like that. But I don't know, the whole thing just, I'm almost at a stage where I want to go back to the old way of doing things and just give it to the team that's last overall.
I've always wanted it that way. I'm not a lottery fan and never have been. It's just, it's another show. It's another way for them to sell some advertising and go on the air a half hour before a game in the playoff time of the year, right? Like, it just, there's nothing, there's no excitement to it. It went right to the letter of the law, except for when we got to like the sixth pick, it was oops, or no, when we got to Philly, it wherever Philly was, that's when we knew something was up. But once Ottawa popped up at seven, did any Ottawa Senator fan really care after that? You know, all I cared about after that was I hope Montreal doesn't win, and then they won anyway. So what are you going to do?
Yeah, the whole thing's become about fan engagement. You don't need to let 16 teams in on the possibility of moving up in the draft, 11 teams all having a chance at number one. That's just silly. You're not about tank prevention anymore or fairness. You're just about fan engagement. More teams get involved, more fans are involved, eyeballs, and it eventually means more money. So I'd be good with just, you know, last overall is fine. Or if you want to do a lottery, simplify it. Take the bottom five teams, throw their names in a hat, draw them one by one. First name out, congrats, you're first overall. Second name, second overall. Yep. Really, really easy. But you can't make a TV show out of that or make much money out of that.
They won the gold plan, though. You know, the down goes Brown gold plan, where you start, you're familiar with this, right? We've talked about this before. As soon as you're eliminated from the playoffs, you start collecting points from that step forward. And whoever has the most points at the end of the year wins. So if you're eliminated with three games left, your odds of winning that gold plan are pretty slim to none. If you're eliminated from the playoffs really early, you've got all that many more games to try to rack up points. But it means that every game you're trying to win. So if the idea of the lottery was to prevent teams from tanking to get number one, this is the exact opposite. Tanking isn't going to help you get number one. You need to win games down the stretch. And the Sens did win the gold plan if they'd done it this year.
Wow. Tanking doesn't matter. Yeah. The National Football League does pretty well without worrying about tanking. And let's be honest. If you tank, you do it at your own peril. You run the risk of alienating your fan base and losing money. It's not for nothing. You know, you become a laughingstock. You become an embarrassment when you're last overall. So if you want to tank and you want that embarrassment of being last overall, you've kind of earned the right to get the first overall selection in my book. So anyway, I think they overthink it is my point.
When was the last time the highest salary in the NHL, the highest payroll team in the NHL finished last?
Ooh, I don't think that's ever happened.
Ever happened. Never happened. Yeah. Habs had the highest payroll in the NHL and finished last.
Right.
Absurd. Looks good on them. I hate them.
Me too. Not as much as I hate the Leafs, but I don't like them. And Brendan Gallagher, man, he's single-handedly pulling me into the hatred right now. But a nice bit of symmetry for the Sens, by the way. So they're going to pick seventh overall on the seventh day of the seventh month. So I think maybe you get Brady Tkachuk up there to make the announcement. And as far as Lucky Seven goes, you can't miss. That'll be a can't-miss prospect right there.
And I bet the broadcast starts at seven, too.
Oh, I hope it does. That'd be good.
And they might be ready for the first pick by about 7:07.
So let's move on to the World Hockey Championships. You know what? First, though, I want to tell people about our great sponsor. Our title sponsor, of course, is Jim K. Ford. Reignite your love for driving with a new Ford from Jim K. Ford. Take a test drive today and see all of the latest innovations available for new Ford vehicles. At Jim K. Ford, you can also custom order your next Ford vehicle to ensure you get the exact vehicle you want at the right time. I love doing a little window shopping online because I get all the vehicles up there ready to go and all the specs. They're beautiful. Get a factory order bonus on select new Ford models. Jim K. Ford, Uville Drive in Orleans, or jimkford.com. So the World Hockey Championship, and by the way, Drake Batherson, big fan of Jim K. Ford. Nice relationship with them this past season with us as well. So thanks to Drake for all his interviews and drop-ins weekly through most of the season. Drake is going to be at the World Hockey Championships playing for Canada, and they'll get it going on Friday against Germany. You get some Sens vibes all over that one. Batherson versus Stützle, but you've also got the Team Canada factor of Shabbat in there as well, and a bit of a surprise in Nick Holden. Nick Holden got an invite. What'd you think of that?
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that one because I kept trying every couple of days. I would Google to see if there were any more announcements, and I wasn't hearing anything, and nothing was coming out until bang, the final roster, and there's Nick Holden. I'm like, I don't know how he's going to look on the big ice. You know, it'd be nice for him to be there, to be a veteran presence in the room. And I hear he's a really good guy. I just don't know how well he's going to look on the big ice. The jury's out on that one. We'll see what happens.
But I think he is a good example of pro scouting maybe coming around a little bit. Certainly, nothing gets more grief in this organization than the pro scouting. Whether it's fully warranted or not, it's certainly warranted to a degree. It feels like they've made a bunch of bad pro scouting decisions led by Pierre Dorion, but credit where credit is due. That Holden deal with Vegas, you not only unload Dadnov and the $10 million left on his contract, but you bring in a guy who a lot of nights was in your top four, great leader out there, and now on Team Canada, and your King Clancy Trophy winner. Credit where credit's due there. Not only, and I'll even throw in Matthew Joseph. What a deal that is. Anton Forsberg, about this time, March last year of 2021, pulling him off waivers, and now he could be their number one. Some good stuff going on in the pro scouting department.
Yeah, lately, you're right. The miss being Michael Delzato, I guess, right? That's a bit of a miss. But I've said it all year. Love the pickups, looking better and better. As Pierre Dorion said in his closing locker cleanout day press conference, the emphasis was on character. Well, now the emphasis is going to be character, still important, but the emphasis now is on finding better skilled players, and that's a test for the Senators this offseason.
You've also got Austin Watson, who's going to be competing for Team USA along with Adam Gaudette. So there are some Sens represented. Of course, DJ Smith, also an assistant coach with Team Canada. So again, Sens represented fairly well in Finland for this event. What did you think? You grew up a New York Islanders fan. What did you think of Lou Lamoriello this week firing Barry Trotz? Lou does what Lou wants to do, but I thought that was the dumbest decision I'd seen in a long time from an executive. Seriously.
It was, I don't know. Was it dumber when he fired Claude Julien with a week left when he was in first place?
Oh, yeah, that's just, right.
Yeah, Lou is one of those. It's all about results, and obviously it's not about past results either. It's all about present results. And I guess the fact that they started with 13 straight games on the road and then got ravaged by COVID to the same degree, if not worse, than the Senators, I guess that had no effect on Lou. No tears here, pal. You got to win. You're paid to win, and I'm going to pay you $4 million not to coach my team next year. It was a shocker, that's for sure. I can't see the man being out of work for long. He's a Manitoba native. Sure, Winnipeg would look good. There'll be other openings. I'm more interested to see who's going to the island than I am as to where Trotz is going, because I'm sure Trotz will get somewhere. It's more interesting. Like, is Mike Babcock going to show up and coach the Islanders?
Oof, that's interesting. It wasn't Lou didn't actually hire Mike Babcock. He kind of took him on. I think that was a Brendan Shanahan decision, but there's obviously a familiarity there. And if he liked Mike Babcock in Toronto, maybe he'll like him on Long Island. Maybe Barry Trotz fits in Detroit.
Yep.
Steve Yzerman's looking for a head coach after the firing of Jeff Blashill. So, yeah, the coaching shuffle, always interesting this time of year. But I think Barry Trotz, after going to two straight conference finals a couple of years before that, leading Washington to a Stanley Cup. I mean, come on. The Islanders also had a big COVID situation going on this year. Okay, you got it. I think you earn that. I think you earn the right to a bad season after the outstanding resume he's put together in the last 5 years. I think that's way offside, but who knows? We're not inside that situation. Maybe the exit meetings were absolutely terrible. Who knows?
Yeah, like is there something else there that we don't know about? Did the players hate him? I know it's a tough system to play night in, night out. Think of it. Basically, they play playoff hockey, tight checking, grind it out every single night. And they went through, I think it was 3 or 4 mini training camps throughout the course of their season because they had such stops and starts. And Trotz was questioning himself and wondering if maybe they shouldn't have done that, the one they had in January when they went like 20 days between games or something. So he questioned himself on that note. I just think that it's a difficult system to play within. That structure is very tough, and it probably wears on players. And if you are beat down from injuries and from COVID after effects and flu bugs and whatever, it makes it even tougher for you night after night after night. And when you win that way in the playoffs, the buy-in from the players is, oh, this is awesome. Look at we're going on to the, you know, they made it to the Final Four 2 years in a row. The players are fine with it then. But on a Tuesday night in February in Arizona when you got to play that way yet again, it wears on you. And I could see players not being happy with that. Maybe you're, like you said, maybe that's what came out in the accident.
If you told me you were talking about Guy Boucher and the erosion of the 2017 conference finalists, I'd have believed you, because that sounded like the same kind of story, in that in the 2017 run, everybody was pulling on the rope, playing what is a tough defensive system to play. It's a tough deal for sure. And the following year, everybody goes, why is this team kind of sagging? They brought in Matt Duchene, they went to Sweden, they come home, and they couldn't win to save their lives. Like, what happened to that 2017 team? I think the answer lies in exactly what you're talking about. I don't care what level you're playing at in the sport of hockey, whether it's Pee Wee AA or the National Hockey League, if you hate coming to the rink, you're not gonna succeed. You've got to have some level of joy in coming to the rink, and I think they lost that.
Yeah, it's like when it becomes a job. Now it's right. A job, and I don't like my job. But here's another question then. There are, you can find hundreds of players through the league, you know, like 25% of the league would be a Barry Trotz / Islander type of player, correct? You'd agree with that? Mm-hmm. So yeah. If you don't have guys in your room and in your roster who want to play that way, then whose fault is that? If you've got guys in your room who just want to have some fun and relax and, okay, we're working way too hard, I don't like this, is that the GM's fault or is that the coach's fault?
Finally today, speaking of that 2017 run to the Eastern Final, Mark Stone turns 30 years of age on Friday of this week. And I was reading a story in The Athletic last week about Mark Stone's back injury. Apparently it started last year in the playoffs. And of course, Vegas lost in a heartbreaking fashion to the Montreal Canadiens in the conference final. This year, Vegas misses outright. They don't make the playoffs. And it sounds like that back injury has been with him all season. He missed half the year. And that back injury, The Athletic's reporting, may linger into next season. And it got me thinking about, you know, wishful thinking and all that, or be careful what you wish for, I guess, is more what I'm looking for. The outrage when Mark Stone left town and signed almost immediately an 8-year contract at $9.5 million. He's now 30. He's got 5 years left on this deal. And I don't know if he's... I think he improved his skating. I really admire the guy for working hard and getting his skating up to a good level. Even still, he doesn't have a step to give skating-wise. So I look at Mark Stone. I look at Erik Karlsson. It's kind of one of those deals where you say, be careful what you wish for, because the Sens may have... I don't know if it was the intent that they saw this necessarily coming. I don't think that was the intent. I think the intent was, we can't afford to pay these guys, or we would. But it worked out very, very nicely.
Well, as I've said all along, none of those contracts are going to age well. The Pageau deal isn't going to age well. Matt Duchene had a really, really good year. But is that contract going to age well? I don't know. It's just... You had these players, the Ryan Dezingle, whatever, he ended up signing a decent deal, and then it floundered out, and he was bought out before he jumped from team to team. But at one time, everybody in town was like, just give him the $5 million for 5 years. Remember that times? Those times? Like, it just, these contracts don't age well. You've got to be real smart about it. And that's the one nice thing about the current incarnation of this team, is that they all look like they'll age well. The Shabbat contract, the Tkachuk contract, I think whatever you end up paying Norris, whatever you end up paying Stützle, because these guys are younger and fresher and just different, they're in better shape than a Stone, than a Karlsson, so that when you give these guys the money at this age, it will age so much better.
Lastly, down on the farm, the Belleville Senators are 2-0, keeping an eye on one of the prospects, Zach Ostapchuk. Captain the Vancouver Canucks to a huge first-round upset. Right now, they're down 2-1 in the second round to Kamloops, but Ostapchuk's numbers are bananas. I think he had like something like 16 points in 6 games in the first round, so just tremendous. Not sure where he's at stats-wise in round two, but good to see. I don't think a lot of people were talking about Ostapchuk as a guy on the radar, but he's quickly putting himself there. And as for the Belleville Senators, I really think that best of three is nonsense. And whoever at the American Hockey League came up with that goofball playoff format, I hope they don't get assigned to that next year, because if you look at the bracket, it's just an absolute dog's breakfast. I have no idea what the hell is going on there. That's the upside for me, that the Belleville Senators are out and that I don't have to look at that bracket anymore because it is just awful.
Okay. Tell us what you really think.
It is. Did you not see it?
I know. It's a three game series in the first round where game one's on the road. Then you get the next two at home and then you move on to, I don't know. It's more confusing than the NBA play-in games. What are they? 7 versus 8 and 9 versus 10. And the winner of 7-8 moves on and the loser plays the winner, whatever. Yeah, I get you. It can be confusing. But I in a league that didn't get to play much and didn't play in front of fans much, it gave them a couple extra gates.
Every division, whatever goofball thing you decide on, every division should be doing generally the same thing. But you have one division that's getting 5 in, one's letting down to 9 or 10. I don't know what the hell's happening in that league. So, and it's too bad, though. It's best of three, and you lose the first two games, both in overtime. Unfortunate. Not that I think that they were going to go deep into the playoffs, but the more playoff games you get, it's probably the better off for the some of the prospects. We'll call it quits right there, Greg. And okay. I'll remind everybody that our website is SensNationHockey.com. If you're feeling it, we've got the Sens Nation Hockey merch site up. It's primarily T-shirts and mugs at this stage of the game. We've got blue team elimination wear up there, so we invite you to check that out, and a whole bunch of other T-shirts up there as well that Ottawa hockey fans might enjoy. Again, check it out, SensNationHockey.com.
I wonder if you're going to sell more stuff that says how much the Leafs suck, or if you're going to sell more stuff that says Sens Nation Podcast. Like, I'll bet on the Leafs suck stuff.
Yeah, probably right now anyway, in the early going.
Yeah. But
there's all kinds of stuff in there. I think we got a Frank the Tank t-shirt in there, for example, and Love the Drake and stuff. So, anyway, check it out yourself. Try it yourself. SensNationHockey.com. Greg, enjoy your week.
Wait a minute. I wonder if people got that.
I don't know. Did you get it?
Of course I did. The guy with the helicopter filming him making a picture on the floor out of like t-shirts and stuff. Right? What's it called? The big picture? No, the big something. Right?
This is a TV show. Heart attack.
Try it yourself.
Heart attack. Exactly. I didn't know if you did. Yeah. Very interesting show back in the day.
Oh, YouTube
back
in that.
Yeah, exactly. This is an art attack. Try it yourself. All right. Greg, have a great week. We'll talk to you soon. You know, we're going to do another show coming up on Friday or Saturday, so okay. Keep an ear out for that. But thank you for being with us today, ladies and gentlemen. We'll talk to you next time.
Good night, everybody.
We'll see ya.
Thanks for being with us on the Jim K. Ford Sens Nation Podcast. If you're enjoying the show, please subscribe and review. Share the show with your friends and followers, or become a member on Patreon. Check out our website today at SensNationHockey.com.